Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
When I took command 10 years ago, I saw myself as an explorer. I thought all the risks would be worth it, because just beyond the next planet, just beyond the next star, there would be something magnificent, something noble. And now, Trip is dead, and I have to give a speech about how worthwhile it's all been.
Trip would be the first to say it was worthwhile.
Hibbity, hibbity, hibbity hop, here we go, it's time to go. Mm-hmm.
Is that our new start? Is that how we start the podcast now?
Yes.
We just get into it. We're like, hey guys, whoa, hey guys.
Maybe we should try not to do it.
Hey guys, this is the Scott Star Trek podcast. Hey guys.
Hey everybody.
Am I doing it right?
No.
Okay. Let's be cool as ice.
All right. Yes, we will be cool as ice.
Objective mode.
All right. Oh my God. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
We got to get right into this. It's going to be a long one, folks.
This is quite a surprise.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be a short one.
There's a lot to talk about here.
Yes.
This is quite an episode.
So we got to get through all the front matter, all the chunky bits at the front of the podcast. So, yes. You heard it here first. I mean, you heard it a couple minutes ago. This is It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Maybe a little.
A lot.
It's a lot, dude.
It is a lot because we've done a lot of episodes.
Oh, shit.
It's a good sign.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I quite enjoy this.
I can tell you. Do you know why? Because do you know what number?
It's 200.
No, thank you.
15?
That's right, Jesse.
Oh, cool.
Got it. You nailed it right on the head.
I really hate those episodes where I'm like, isn't it like this one? And you're like, no, that was last week. And I'm like, oh.
You got
it
right this week, Jesse.
Senile old man.
No, you're all good.
You're going to make it.
This week, you're drifting through a period of lucidity, which is fantastic. It's always great when Jesse's periods of lucidity line up with the recording of the podcast.
Yes.
So, this is the 215th episode.
Before or after.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. You got myself, Patrick, here. You got Jesse over there, who's lucid tonight.
Completely lucid.
And then we have our silent partner, Dan, who is our silent co-host.
You know what I mean. Don't worry.
Holograms.
Poetic justice.
This holograms. Week, this week, you probably know it already because you clicked on the title, unless this came up in your automatic feed. I don't know. I guess that could happen. You probably know that this week we are discussing Star Trek Enterprise Season 4, Episode 22.
It's just barely Enterprise.
It's been a week.
It's the series finale.
It's been a week.
Finale.
It's sort of a week TNG episode.
Yes.
It's not really an Enterprise episode.
We'll get to all that. But yes, these are the voyages, .. Or alternatively, these are the voyages, ellipses. Whichever is your preferred way to do it. You need to include the ellipses, however.
It depends, yeah.
If you just say these are the voyages, that's not correct, because that's not the official title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
..
So that is what we will be discussing this week.
Medulla oblonga.
Last week, I did have a game to end the... We don't have to play the game, but I kind of ended on the game, so we kind of need an answer. Right?
I'm down. Yeah. Let's do the game.
Can you get... This is a really...
The game.
This isn't a very good game.
All right. So folks who are new to the podcast, if you're just decide to ramp up with episode 215, where we're discussing what is widely seen as one of the... Yes, Jesse, you can pour your drink. What is widely seen as one of the poorer entries in the Star Trek canon. Mm-hmm. If this is the episode you've decided to pick to first listen to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, there's a couple things you need to know. And one of them is, what were you doing, Dan?
A game?
Oh, yes, the game. One of them is that last week we did a different episode. Okay.
We did an episode on the Game Stars of Trescalon.
Oh, yeah. The game. No. The
The Game Stars of Trescalon.
Okay, we did TOS's The Gamesters of Triskelion.
Triskelion.
And Dan had formulated, I believe, an audio game of some sort that we didn't have time to get to.
Because he's a gamester.
Yes, because he is indeed a gamester.
Of Smellion.
And this happens occasionally, so we can use a couple minutes here at the front to wrap up that loose end.
So
you won't need to have watched that episode necessarily.
So can you guess where I cut the sound?
I can be a
guesser. Where I took the sound, I took a piece out, and I spliced it together.
Okay, that's the goal of this game.
So, because the quote was a certain length, and I cut down empty spaces to make it a shorter length. Yes. And so, can you guess where I cut it?
Okay, yeah. So
you need to be a guester of Spliskelion.
just to clarify, Dan has taken an audio file. He's edited it in such a way.
I just said all this.
I know. I know. This is just, you reiterate.
This is a recap. Okay.
Just to, from a different perspective.
Like those reality shows where they just keep playing clips from earlier in that episode.
Yes. There's a great sketch from That Mitchell and Webb Look where it's a guy goes in, he's trying to buy a present for his aunt. It's called the Gift Shop Sketch. I recommend everyone go to YouTube and look it up. YouTube. That Mitchell and Webb Look, the Gift Shop Sketch. And now we're going to do our version of that with Dan doing the game from last week with audio that he edited, and we're supposed to determine where the splice is.
Yes. Here we go.
We're not going anywhere until we have some information. Who are you? What is this place?
Till we have some information. That's where you edited it.
We're not going anywhere
till we have some information.
Who are you? What is this place?
It's too, because the other part is too obvious.
Wait, after or before?
Before.
Before, what do you say, Jesse?
What do you say, Jesse?
I'm not really sure. This is like from an episode that we last week.
Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere until we have some information. Who are you? Okay. What is this place?
So Dan, you may recall last week that Jesse was not in one of his periods of lucidity.
Yeah, right.
So he may not be in a position to guess.
Okay.
But that's where I'm guessing, and I'm admitting it's not because I'm hearing something, it's because I'm guessing that the part that sounds like the obvious edit is not the edit, unless you're doing a super meta hilarious joke on me.
Well, you have used your wits to outsmart my game.
Oh, no. No, okay. Was I right?
You were sort of right.
Okay.
In the actual answer, this is its original.
We're not going anywhere until we have some information. Who are you? What is this place?
So you were right that the other one, that right before he says, who are you? That sounds like it's cut, but it's not. And you were right.
Not.
But you were right that I cut the one before it, but I also cut the one after it. It was kind of like, because I thought, the reason I didn't do it the other way, originally it was going to be like, guess where I didn't cut it. Guess at the spot I didn't cut. And that's kind of like a tricky game to play because like there's an infinite amount of spots I could not have cut it, you know? Mm. So instead I said
game shows get tricky when there are infinite answers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just said, I just said, guess where I cut it. And I made it a trick question. Cause I was banking on the fact that you were going to pick the one between who are you before, who are you, and the one before, but you didn't. So you thwarted my game. Congratulations. You deserve a meatball.
Okay. I will get a meatball. You can provide me with a meatball post podcast.
What kind of meat?
All right, let's keep things moving because we want to get to our discussion. Just a couple things before that, we do have a voicemail from our friend Isaac at Unplanned Trek.
It's a good sign.
Hey guys, it's Isaac here. Long time listener of the show. Oh, absolutely loving it. And I hear you guys are after people recording things and sending them in, and that's probably asking for feedback. And because I'm a male and middle age, I feel like I can give my opinions even if they haven't been asked for. Great news. First of all, I'd like to say, news them ups, they're really rad. The tagline makes it. Keep the tagline. Second thing is a question for Dan.
Thank you.
Love the soundboard that you guys use.
Thank you.
And, I guess the other two can say that they use it too, but we all know whose soundboard it is, mate. Wondering if you've considered adding yourselves to the soundboard. So, you know, you guys go quite unhinged and some funny things have come out of your mouths.
One or two.
Maybe they could be things that are on your really, really long keyboard. I assume that, like, you've got a keyboard that's like a piano and each thing's labelled with a different sound. So
and
it
six
goes
rows.
All the way from the lowest note being Chief O'Brien all the way up to the highest one.
Chief O'Brien?
Holograms or something like that. Anyway, love the show.
Well, I had no doubt about that.
Feel free not to use this and feel free to edit it if it's really shit. All right. And hey, how's Jeremy going this week?
So, oh, yeah.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, people enjoy Jeremy's audio recording from last week. Nothing from him this week. Thank you, Isaac.
Thank you.
What do you think, Dan?
Hologram.
Should we add to
thank
our?
You.
Should we add?
Thank you.
Audio clips of ourselves to the soundboard. I think that's not a half bad idea.
I like maybe that. A little.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
So
not a little. I like
for
a
little background, a little behind the scenes background. First of all, I too.
Thank
Isaac,
you for that wonderful voicemail.
I too dream of Dan. Quite literally, have had dreams of Dan having some excellent huge keyboard with each key mapped to something, and then like buttons where he can like load up different profiles and stuff.
Can you believe it?
And just have all this stuff. Dan, I mentioned that to Dan, and he suggested to me that would be insane to try to memorize.
It's
unless you had some digital magic keyboard that where it would have like the file name on the
right,
key or something.
Right, because I have different ones each week, so to try to memorize, yes, it would be the most efficient. I'd be doing better with my beats a little bit. I'd have a little bit be more on time. I could play more simultaneous.
Better
stuff.
With your beats.
You know, the problem with my ability is it's limited by my equipment.
Better
you know,
with your beats.
That's what people who say when they have no.
But you know, the thing is, I was reminded
when something's holding them back and they feel it's their equipment. It usually just means that they're holding themselves back.
Isaac reminded me that back in the day. In the olden days of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, we did used to play some audio clips that we recorded. Like we had this
Dolan
one.
Dolan Rumpu. yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Dolan Rumpu.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's an old one.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Right.
Corporations are cheap.
Yeah, it's OG.
And pig anuses presumably are plentiful. Corporations are cheap and pig anuses are presumably plentiful. Oh, this is...
I'm hungry.
Speaking of... jerking off for croissants. Whoa. That was back when we were a little more blue.
Do you remember this one?
Dude, it's like your prolapsed anus.
It's not like a... yeah. I don't have a prolapsed anus.
just so people have to understand, part of the reason why that clip is so funny is that Jesse got... He was like actually annoyed. He doesn't get annoyed. Jesse doesn't get annoyed at anything. And then every now and then you say something, he was all like, I don't have a prolapsed anus.
Back on duty.
Wait a minute.
Back on duty.
I got
some packing before I go back on duty.
This was another favorite of mine. It's a little taste, like when the cocaine dealer or the gentleman who is trying to manipulate a woman who has a cocaine addiction, he gives her a little taste.
Yep.
The cocaine dealer gives you a little taste.
I'm a dealer of jokes.
He's a dealer of jokes. He gives you a taste, and then you can't help it. You come
taste.
Back for more.
The spectacle is worn by reason.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff we can put
good
on
night.
Those. Hey,
good night. Bits. That's ridiculous. That's a long one. But that was, I don't know. I always thought that was
funny.
You
can cut that out.
Or there's all the sounds that we have to edit out.
We could just make a big long string of those.
Like this. Listen to this. I don't even remember whose that is.
I did that a lot for a while.
You're actually playing the sound of us going. You isolated those? Like,
yeah.
At what point?
Yeah, man.
Like,
I don't know.
But you did bother to save them.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was just because I was editing out so many of them at one point in time before we got better.
You got clickety pens?
No, that is awesome. That's a newer
this one.
Sadness I have to deal with. Okay.
Then need a spectral micrometer to see it's a fabrication.
Well, yes. Thank you, Isaac. We'll take your suggestion under advisement, except for the what was the quote? The something on the they're on the rad.
That's oh yeah, they're like. On the rad. Yeah, news 'em ups. They're on the rad. Well,
I like news 'em ups.
Well,
I like voicemail 'em ups.
The listeners have spoken.
Oh, did who came up with on the rad? Was that you?
That was me.
Yes, Dan came up with
and
on the rad.
The listeners have spoken,
but he likes it. Right?
And they have. demanded that. That's what I'm saying right now.
Yes, one,
I'm listening.
One listener.
I'm listening.
The listeners, I'm a listener. The listeners are, have spoken, and they've demanded that we continue saying News 'em Ups on the rad.
Okay. We'll see about
let's
that.
Let's get to it.
Well, let's get right into it. We do have one more voicemail from Jen, and that will get our conversation started because I think
Let's do it.
I think she covers a lot of the things that that we will be discussing about Star Trek Enterprise Season 4, Episode 22, Series Finale. These are the Voyages.
Ellipses.
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen.
This is my
I can't hear you.
I don't even like saying the name of the episode. But you know what I'm talking about. The supposed last episode of Enterprise. Like I said on Twitter, don't like this episode with an unreasonable passion. I watched it when it first aired back in, I don't want to say how long ago, and I hated it from the get. Now, I do love Riker and Troy as characters. They're actually among my favorite characters. I even had hamsters named after them when I was younger.
Nice. That's tight.
But I felt that the cast, from a production point of Enterprise, was completely robbed of screen time. They shoehorned a story that was already well done in TNG into this, and they unnecessarily killed off a character for dramatic effect. I didn't like the way that it was laid out, and obviously I didn't like the story. Usually when I do my rewatch of Enterprise, I consider the last episode the episode before that, but like even the cast were angry at being robbed of screen time and appropriate closure, and I didn't like the time jump either, really. It could have done so much more. And then
and that's it, because you're limited to 90 seconds.
Oh, no. Whoa.
But we do appreciate the comments, Jen. And I really like that voicemail because it covers some of the really key points about this episode, some of the key critiques.
Yeah, really.
That they took screen time away from the crew of the TV show who, you know, the
they
actual
like
Enterprise.
Upstaged the whole show.
I don't get it.
And they killed off a character. And of course, the whole time jump where they're filling in a bunch of canon real quickly.
It jumped like several years, right?
Yes. I think it was 6 years
six
in the future.
Years,
10 years.
Because there was only four seasons.
Actually, would I stay?
Yeah, because they said they were on the Enterprise for a total of 10 years. Yeah.
And it's been a long road getting from Warp 5 to Warp 7.
I know.
They have Warp 7 now, and they didn't have... Ah. And the Vulcans were preventing them from having Warp 5 in the first episode.
Well, so yeah, so I think that's a good outline for what we can discuss tonight. Mm-hmm. Although, I do have a mild distraction because she mentioned that she had... Jen mentioned she had hamsters named after... Was it Troy and Riker?
Yeah.
I'm curious if they were European hamsters.
He's cute.
They used to be called Siberian hamsters. I think they're called dwarf hamsters now. That's the type of hamster I had. I had one of those little gray dwarf hamsters. I imagine there are a few other types of hamsters around. Hamsters are super interesting. If you go to Vienna, Austria, they got the graveyards, and they got a bunch of hamsters living in the graveyards.
It's comfy.
That's weird. Yeah, I didn't see those because I didn't go deep into it.
They're big
and
meaty. The meaty hamster.
I stayed on the outside.
Not that you want to eat them. They're kind of endangered. Semi-endangered.
Something. Yeah. Magnificent.
Rodents of unusual size.
Hamsters are cool because they put a bunch of seeds in their mouth pouches, and then you can rub the mouth pouches. No, you can have like a sort of an Amelie style, you know, soothing mouth pouch rub.
I don't think that sounds good at all.
You're
not into
cute.
The mouth
I'm not
pouch
into
rub?
Amelie style anything.
Oh man! You gotta eat the chicken like that guy in Amelie.
No,
he like
dude,
eats like the little chunky fatty bit of the chicken. Is all it looks so good. What a delicious movie.
Well, it's fine, but the way he eats it is just it's not necessary.
All right. Again, yes. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where would you like to start with this? Because this is an interesting episode to tackle.
It's a neat concept, but it totally just doesn't.
I'm right there with you.
They didn't do it right.
I think. Well, so I mean, to jump right to the end, I guess. Like the only kind of satisfying thing about this episode I found was when T'Pol hugged Archer. I thought that was like a nice book. Yeah. That was a nice bookend to their relationship. And that sort of like the theme. Well, not the theme, but like one of
the theme.
One of the major points of the show is like Archer and T'Pol, like their sort of relationship as it went through in this thing. And that was a nice moment. But other than that, there were some parts that were kind of entertaining, but a lot of it was just kind of waiting for something to happen when you already kind of knew what was going to happen. Like as it goes along. Nothing was real. It just seemed really.
It's like a forced ending.
Is rote a good word for that? It seemed rote. Am I using that word right?
Maybe.
Well, it depends. Rote means sort of automatic, you know.
Yeah.
By the book, fill in the
yes,
banks.
Then that's exactly what I mean.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
You did a good job there, Dan.
All right.
Because I mean, it was the whole plot with Shran, and then they go get the daughter, and then, of course, they catch up to him. The problem with when T3 got killed, there was a few problems,
Charles Trip Tucker III?
One of the things is...
Captain?
Is it's always hard to tell. It's always hard to tell when a character is in actual real danger. Because the situation with Archer, T3, and that alien dude, the situation with them, they've been in stickier situations than that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so, but suddenly, yeah. Suddenly it's urgent, and I get it. It's like, any situation could be urgent. You could say, wow, it was amazing they got out of those other ones. But as a viewer, I wasn't feeling as threatened by that situation as Trip Tucker III was making it out to be.
Well,
and it's like, and Archer said he had it. Nobody was getting shot yet. Yeah. And then Trip Tucker jumped straight to like zapping.
Suicide attack.
And did he know he was going to do that from the start, or did he decide that halfway through? Okay. Or
anyway. So I think if we pull back, and we'll get into all the little bits and bobs here. There's a, like
we're
going
to make sense of them.
There.
Sound like my ninth grade teacher.
There's a lot to discuss. I think one way to look at it is kind of pull back a bit and be like, okay, because Jesse,
let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Can we talk about like the
we can talk about everything, baby.
How many episodes? So in the first season 1 and 2, there were 26 episodes. Mm-hmm. Season 3, there were 24. Season 4, there were 22. Mm-hmm. Now, was this canceled before season 4 or
no.
Like during it was okay. During season 4?
Well, so that, did they exactly,
so did they cut that. Did they cut it short?
I think it's important to provide some context around this episode because it helps us understand its place. Both in the fictional world as well as in the actual real world. Like
very illogical approach.
Why it came to exist. I think it's a very logical approach. What are you talking about? So, Enterprise season 4.
Tell me why you think it's logical.
They elevated.
I wasn't saying you were being illogical. I was saying the show was being illogical.
They elevated Manny Coto to showrunner for the 4th season. He came up with the idea of doing these little mini arcs, which they hadn't really done in Star Trek before. But so most of season 4
Archimedes.
Of Enterprise are these 2 or 3 episode mini arcs. They tell a whole story. It was an interesting evolution of the, you know, going between episodic and drifting towards more serialized stuff. And most people consider the bulk of the 4th season to be quite a successful season of Star Trek, and that really Enterprise had sort of turned around, found its footing.
It was improving.
The characters were well developed. The actors understood their characters. The writers were in the groove, coming up with some cool ideas. And when they started season 4, they were hoping for season 5. But partway through, they were like told, "Nope, you're canceled."
Damn.
So that's it.
And so had they already had, I forget how they used to do it. Did they film all episodes before the season started? Like, did they go into
no,
it?
No, not necessarily.
So they thought that there was a chance they could have had more than 22 episodes.
That's a episodes. Bunch of episodes.
I don't remember, and I didn't see in my research specifically whether or not the order got cut short before the season started or partway through the season. That I can't remember, but I do remember that a series finale was foisted upon them. Mm-hmm. And this makes me think about Discovery, right? Because Discovery,
totally.
They filmed all of season 5 with the belief or the hope, certainly, that they were going to have at least one more season. And after the series was done filming... Paramount said, "Hey, actually, nope. 5th season's going to be the end."
Wouldn't it be excellent. Hilarious if all Star Trek moved off of Paramount Plus to Netflix because of Prodigy?
Well, like,
if it somehow becomes more successful on Netflix.
But the important thing to note is for Discovery, what they did do is they gave them more money and more scheduling time.
Schedule them ups,
so they were able to redo the final episode and maybe even insert stuff into other episodes. I don't know, but they were able to film more in order to make that last episode be a series finale for Discovery. We have yet to see it, but it feels kind of similar.
They haven't even said when it's coming out, right?
Well, it's we don't know exactly, but they've started to show preview images and stuff, so probably, you know, early 2024. But the point is that there are some similarities to what happened with Discovery, which is a forced season finale or series finale, and that's what we've just watched here. The other thing to note is supposedly they came up with this idea as a story in season 3. They hadn't written it, but they kind of came up with this loose idea, but not necessarily as a series finale. Just as like an interesting, goofy story to do that would give them the chance to bring back some TNG stuff and get some ratings.
It's like something you would do for like a special, like the Star Trek special for like, you know.
I think for a lot of people, yeah, and for a lot of people, I think that's the problem is it's not necessarily with the idea. It's that the idea was the series finale to Enterprise as opposed to like a one-off episode,
and that's one of the issues is that it makes it seem like when they filmed the last episode, they were like, "We're not going to get many reviews. Let's see how many views we can suck out of this right. by throwing in some TNG yeah. nostalgia." And so it's like not even leaving the show like on a with a dignified. Like,
how can we say fuck you, Enterprise?
They didn't
kind of like that.
They didn't give it a dignified exit.
Everybody hates you.
They didn't give it a dignified exit because they were like, well, we can get more viewers from TNG. Yeah. So, and that's kind of like how it felt.
Well, and the other aspect here.
And that's totally selling Enterprise out.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm not defending this decision, but I do think it's important to at least lay out the argument that was made by the people who wrote this episode. Do you know who that is?
The people that ran the show.
Ronald Moore.
No.
The only reason I say that is because he was in the episode. Like, his name was in the episode as one of the Pegasus people.
Yeah, well,
Commander Ronald Moore.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe he had something to do with this episode. Why else would they have his name in there?
No, it would have been better if it was Ron Moore who had done it. Yeah. And it wasn't Manny Coto, who was the ostensible showrunner.
It was Rick Berman. Damn.
It was Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. They wrote this idea. They came up with the idea. Brandon Braga, well known for his high concept ideas. Rick Berman, increasingly known for other things. They were also doing this in the context of Enterprise has been canceled. There's been nonstop Star Trek since 1987. And Rick Berman was involved with that pretty much the whole time. So from 1987 to 2005, which is when this aired in May 2005, nonstop Star Trek, and now it was going to end. Yeah. So they decided, okay, we want to, as Brandon Braga put it, we want to provide a Valentine to the fans.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if he said love, like it was like a love letter to the fans or something like that.
All the quotes I saw were variations on Valentine. Now, he defended the episode initially. Years later, there are interviews with Brandon Braga where he's like, yeah, I fucked up. That was stupid. Mm. You know, you could argue he's just saying that because that's what everyone says. Mm. And so he's just succumbing to the
pressure. You know that after Weezer released Pinkerton, Rivers Cuomo, is that his name?
Yeah.
He went out and he said that he was ashamed of the album and like how shitty he thought
that
it
was. Dumb.
Yeah, I thought Pinkerton was their best album.
Yeah, totally.
So anyways, that relates to what you say is because what people say publicly can be influenced by the way that the public interprets their work.
But they, at least from their perspective, and again, I'm not defending this position, but I can appreciate the perspective that they weren't just closing down Enterprise, they were closing down
TNG.
TNG, so Deep Space Nine, it was like Voyager, that
to
era.
Use the word bookend again, it was a bookend.
Because it was another long stretch before there was any.
Until Discovery
like,
came
much
back.
Like, yeah. Much like Discovery. T'Pol and Archer's hug was a bookend to the relationship over the course of that series. Mm-hmm. TNG as the series finale for Enterprise was a bookend for the million years of Star Trek.
Bookend. Yes. Very good. Very good rephrasing of what I just stated. See? I'm not complaining that you did that. You complain when I do that.
I quite enjoy this.
You know, Fox has the most...
But where will I stay?
Fox has the most... he has the most beady kind of language, you know? Like
Beady.
Yeah.
I thought you meant beady, like somebody with beady eyes.
Where would I stay?
Yes. I love that quote.
Yeah.
That's from the episode Home, also from the fourth season.
Yeah. Fox, when he talks, he has like...
When he talks, he's got that rhythm.
He's the most rhythmic of them all.
Give us an example of rhythmic Fox.
Rhythmic Fox? Okay.
He negotiated it down to four. Didn't have a choice.
Well, isn't that fun?
It's really quite fun.
It's fun.
It seemed like some of the idea that this was going to be the last episode of Star Trek for a while, and they're saying goodbye to Star Trek sort of got into some of the dialogue, it seemed like they were, they were talking about, like, you know, like the captain says there's going to be more Enterprises or like another Enterprise. Like, you know, it's just like this sort of wistful conversation.
Reed says all good things.
Yeah, yes, he does. Right. Yeah, there's that.
Archer talks about the next generation.
I think
that was Archer who said that, right?
Yeah. Here's to the next generation.
To the next generation.
Yeah, they mentioned both of those things. And All Good Things was like the series finale for TNG, and they mentioned the series finale of Enterprise.
That was the only
Enterprise,
show anybody ever liked.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, so that's why they did it, because it was a series finale.
This is a new feature where Dan states the obvious.
No, it's not the obvious. I'm just stating.
Johnny Obvious.
No, I'm just stating.
Here's to the next generation.
That had nothing
to do with it.
Here's to the Next Generation had nothing to do with the series finale, but All Good Things did have to do with the series finale because they were both series finales.
Oh,
and serious finale.
Yeah, so I'm just saying what everyone.
I think the guy.
I'm just saying what everyone wants me to
the
say.
The guy that directed
what
this.
Everyone's saying. I'm just saying.
Alan Kroger.
I'm just
he directed
saying,
some of the other series finales, but not that.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Dan is tapping his forehead furiously.
I'm just saying what everyone's thinking.
Oh, you were indicating thinking by tapping your forehead so hard. Bleeding.
Yeah, I was just saying what everyone was thinking.
Okay.
Usually you say that when someone's too afraid to say something, but in my case I said it because it's obvious because everyone was already thinking it. It's the same thing used differently. Okay, I'm sorry, Jesse, what were you saying?
Jesse was saying it's time to get a break.
I don't think I was, but sounds real good.
Normally Jesse's all like, it's time to go.
Is
break,
it time for a break?
I need a break.
Let's take a break. Yes, it is time for a break, and when we get back,
we
will have a brief discussion about the various season finales. Now that we brought up All Good Things, I think it's good for us to take a quick look over all the series finales.
And we're back
from Star Trek. All right,
we will challenge.
We will be right back.
And we're back.
No, that turns off. That mathematically cancels out my we'll be right back.
Oh no.
Okay. We will be
come on
right back. All right, we're back.
And we're back.
Hey,
that was great.
Yay.
That was great.
I did it right.
Yeah, you did it.
You did it. You damn right you did it right. Was very weird. Very weird. Okay. All right. So this is actually the first season finale that we're covering on the podcast. We're 215 episodes in.
This is actually the first season finale we are covered on the podcast. That's how you said it.
Well, no, we did Picard.
No. Okay. Let me. You're right. You're right, Jesse.
I mean,
you're right.
And you're always right.
We did all the pilots.
But when you're right, when it's a little bit off.
When we. Hey, that was funny because Jesse just told Dan to fuck you. He's just like, fuck you, Dan.
Yeah, he did.
But you know what?
Computer, freeze program.
When we started the podcast, we started it by going through all the pilots.
What's a pilot?
And we made a number of Pulp Fiction jokes back then, as we do now.
oh, comfy.
I used the same soap you did. Yes, we did all the pilots.
Don't worry.
And thank you for the correction, Jesse. The only series finale we've done has been Picard, because Picard has concluded. But I thought
he's cute.
Let's just do a quick scan through, starting from the beginning, going in order.
Of all the series. If we list all the series seasons finales, all we're doing is listing the series of Star Treks in order. We already know what the order of Star Trek series are.
Yeah,
you start with TOS, then it goes to TNG, and then
it goes
to DS9.
I don't know why you're upset about this, because I just wanted to say what the titles of and make some comments about the finales.
Okay,
that's all.
Okay.
So you know what I mean.
You're all like, fuck you, man. You can't say shit in order. You can't do that.
I really don't see how this is going to
help. Why would you ever list anything in order?
You're out of order, man.
I don't know, Dan. You used to all do all these lists. You haven't done lists in a while. You used to do some like pretty good lists.
Danny Long lists.
My Chopin lists.
Yeah.
It's because I've been recording these sounds. Maybe I can fit a list in among my sound recording.
That's right. I mean, I know the sound. The sound clips does take a long time.
Are you the fiddlest?
Okay.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish.
Shalash.
Chalish. Shalash. Shalash.
Okay.
So Star Trek, the original series, the series finale was Turnabout Intruder, which was
Turnabout Intruder,
which was season 3, episode 24. Of course, not a true finale in the sense that it was just the last episode and then they were canceled.
Why'd you bring it up then?
So, you know, what are you going to do? And then Star Trek, the animated series, the Counterclock Incident, season 2, episode 6. We're almost there. We've covered most of the animated series. We've got like 5 episodes left.
Yeah.
The Counterclock Incident, again, not a true series finale.
Seriously?
I don't know why I said it like that. Not a true series finale. It was just the last episode produced.
Why'd you bring it up then?
They just stopped it.
Well, I brought it up.
They said, we got to do He-Man.
This is what we're
doing.
And then...
Intruder alert.
All right. That's non sequitur alert.
No, it's because you were intruding with things that weren't actually season finales.
Oh, all right. Okay.
What, dude?
I'm sure people were meant to just understand that.
I did.
You understood the point you were making.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy's good. A ham.
I want a poll. Who understood what I was saying before I explained it?
Oh, no.
All right. Click, 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 click. 100% of people responding say no. I just did it on Twitter. Everyone said they had no clue what you're talking about.
Insta poll.
Patrick's a dirty liar.
TNG.
Sounds like my ninth grade teacher.
Star Trek The Next Generation. All Good Things, which we already mentioned. That's season 7, episodes 25 and 26. This is the beginning of the feature length series finale. And you know what? You know what these are the Voyager's finale. Ellipses is? It is not feature length. Mm. Right?
No, yeah, that is a bummer.
All Good Things.
It didn't even, you're right. It didn't even get
I am right.
It's short, man.
But what the point I'm making is that, like, okay, you're right. We're all right. But I didn't think about that. How that's also disrespectful. They didn't even give it a full fucking season finale.
An hour long.
Season finale send off.
But there's a caveat to that, which we'll get to in a second. There's an arguable caveat to that. And the audience at home, they're all like, oh, I know what Patrick's talking about. I know the caveat he's talking about. Oh, I know about it. But we're not talking about that just yet because first, we have to talk about Deep Space Nine, What You Leave Behind, season 7, episodes 25 and 26.
You're behind.
I know most people, All Good Things is considered kind of the premier top version of a Star Trek series finale. And I think it's easy to argue that. I really like What You Leave Behind. I think it's a very interesting, there's a melancholiness to that series finale, which I think is very appropriate for Deep Space Nine, and it wraps everything up pretty well.
I mean, TNG was going to win just by the fact that it was TNG, and DS9 was not as popular as TNG. So.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about a popularity concert.
Here's like, to the next generation.
No, but they're
going to have a popularity concert.
But I mean, the reason people thought that the TNG episode was the better one is because people like TNG more.
That you could argue that is where the popularity comes from. I know.
That is his argument.
But I'm saying that take that aside, I think there's a very strong argument just made on purely critical grounds.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That it is the best constructed, most interesting.
That is absolutely.
Wraps up that storyline really well.
I would never deny that. Not in a million years.
He would never deny that.
Not in a million years.
But then we have Voyager's Endgame, again, season 7, episodes 25 and 26. This is the kind of three golden age, silver age, whatever the appropriate term is.
Yeah.
Star Trek's, they all had feature-length series finales. They had plenty of time to plan the series finales. They all did 7 seasons, so lots of storylines, lots of characters and stuff to build up from. Endgame, I think most people agree that Endgame is not perfect. It's it does wrap up the story, but it maybe a little too quickly. It's a little frenetic. Not bad by any means.
That's okay.
But and some people I'm sure love it, but it's more flawed, I think, than either All Good Things or What You Leave Behind.
Voyager went through a lot of weird periods.
Yeah. Then you get to These Are the Voyages ellipses, and the thing is that the two prior episodes, which foolishly I don't have in my I forget what they're called.
The previous episodes leading up to this one?
Yeah, Demon Land or whatever. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It is a two-part episode, And it really functions well.
They did the mirror universe.
Well, that was before that, right? So you had the mirror universe. Yeah, so they had,
there was Demons, then Terra Prime, then These Are the Voyages.
Yeah, so Demons and Terra Prime.
In a Mirror Darkly was the one before.
Demons and Terra Prime, I think, really do work as a proper series finale. It's that they're connected story. It wraps up a lot of storylines. It doesn't get to the Federation stage. And I think that's one of the other critiques of this particular episode is that it was that, again, Jen mentioned this in her voicemail about the time jump, which felt so forced because it was like, oh, we just want to be able to show the beginning of the Federation. Oh, and by the way, they don't even do that. We don't get to see the speech.
Not even.
They cheat us of the speech.
That'd be like Zefram Cochran not taking credit for warp drive.
Yeah. Okay. And then real quick, just to wrap up what the remaining shows. Yes, we saw Picard's series finale of Star Trek Picard, The Last Generation, which was good. It certainly was no all good things. In 2024, coming up fairly soon, we'll have Discovery's series finale. We do not know when we'll have series finales for Lower Decks, Prodigy, or Strange New Worlds. For all of them, hopefully, not for a very long time.
I hope they bring Prodigy like back for a season.
I do too. We know that we're going to get a second season. It's already been produced.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome if like the shows all migrated over to Netflix or wherever. But I mean, somewhere that's not Paramount.
Not as janky. This is how you can tell we are no longer getting paid by big Star Trek. It's like Paramount Plus. Oh my God. I the most aggravating thing recently, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast, but it's where Paramount Plus, I pay for the commercial free tier.
Yeah.
It still shows you commercials for Paramount stuff, which is aggravating enough. But the most aggravating thing now is, I don't know what it is, but watching it on my TV, when the ad plays, it doesn't show a picture.
Oh,
yeah. You can hear the audio of the ad, and you can hear a countdown, and it either shows black screen or it'll show just a green garbled nonsense, and you're like, I can't even see the ad.
Is it your TV smart? I can't even see the ad. It's like mixed between Al Pacino and George Costanza's father. Well, do you
Marty, you made it.
Do you just use your smart TV?
I use a Google Chromecast.
Okay, it's interesting because
4K for both
my Nvidia Shield and my Pixel 6a, when I play
Pixel
it, and I've mentioned this before, it takes literally 20 seconds. I've counted it.
20 seconds on my Pixel 6a
for the picture to get to be normal
resolution.
Well,
that's another aggravating thing
because it's like blocky and shitty for 20 seconds. Although on my other TV that I use the TV smart features, that one seems fine with Paramount Plus. But like anything Android related seems problematic.
Wow. My giant TV works just fine.
I didn't say that.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Well, anyway, that's just a quick overview of the series finales and sort of placing this in the
context. Why would he tell me that?
In the context of those, this was the series finale that was sort of squished in there after what could be a better series finale. And it was the end of Star Trek for a good while until Discovery came back in 2017. So many years in between, 12 years in between this episode and the first episode of Discovery.
It's a long haul.
The Vulcan hello.
One, I was thinking.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was.
Live long and prosper.
Hello.
One of the problems with this episode is that, like we've mentioned, is that they're shoehorning TNG in there. But then it made me think, like, would the episode, because that is part of the problem, is part of the problem is TNG is taking away the focus.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, would it have been
Mayweather's in it for 10 seconds?
Yeah, so this kind of brings me my point is, would it actually have been a better episode given this plot? Would it actually have been a better episode if they took all the TNG stuff out and just had an Enterprise? I argue that for this plot they chose, not necessarily.
No, the plot is a boring plot.
It would have been a better TNG episode.
It needed a gimmick laid on top of it.
We never found out why, like, they were able to catch up with Shran. Like, there was a few things. First of all, T'Pol says she didn't trust Shran, and that led nowhere.
Yeah.
He didn't end up betraying anyone.
There wasn't any further.
That simply initiated the conversation from Archer about how, like, I've grown. I used to be a racist piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm slightly less racist.
I know. Look, I'm not saying that her saying that means that they should have had him betray her necessarily. It's just, yeah, it felt like you said it was just for that line. It didn't play into anything, really. It just kind of went away.
I think,
and we don't find out.
It was like
out,
a pointless adventure.
And we don't find out how the aliens catch up because Shran Shranna's warp before they warp too. Take it for granted. Maybe you could argue that's not important, but at the same time, sometimes I would like to be immersed a little more than that.
Well,
you know?
Okay. So, like, again, none of that stuff matters if the story is engaging and interesting. And this is not like a terrible story. But it's just, I just think it's not well executed.
We have to take so much for granted. Yeah. Like Shran, he pretended to be dead for 3 years. What? Okay, Shran had his daughter stolen. Okay, his daughter was stolen. I didn't know, you know.
Well, and that's all because of the time jump. Yeah. Oh, and you know, we know at the beginning of the episode.
Well, yeah,
it's
because of the time jump. But
do you know why we know that there was a time jump even before they tell us there was a time jump? Because they all have silly haircuts.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, DePaul has the most.
No, they all. Reed is basically the same. I guess Reed and Mayweather are pretty much the
and,
same.
And the other.
Actually, no, a lot of them.
I think DePaul's is the most.
Phlox is different.
DePaul, I feel, is the most noticeable because.
The other lady.
Hoshi.
DePaul is the most noticeable, I feel, because she kind
DePaul.
Of. Because she kind of has a plain haircut before, and now it's like kind of fancied up, you know?
She's got like.
How about DePaul?
How about and where would I stay?
And okay, so correct me if I'm wrong because I really haven't seen a lot of this show before.
Where would I stay?
We started doing the podcast, but the cook. All of a sudden, the cook is important. I don't remember there ever being a cook on this show.
I know this. The what's shown in the episode doesn't support this, but I thought it would be fun to think about how all of Enterprise was actually a hollow program.
Was actually
a hollow program.
Topologram.
Topologram. I was sort of having this fantasy that like Enterprise was actually just a holo program that they used in Starfleet in the future to study Enterprise, and it was just kind of an interpretation. And and the role of the chef is actually the role the player is supposed to take. Mm-hmm. So the player's job in the Enterprise holo game is that they're supposed to keep their crew's morale up. So not only do they give them food, but they give them counselor they feed their body and they feed their mind. And so that's what
they give them little kisses.
And
the
so,
cook gets them to like do work.
They give them
like,
little
cut this shit up.
Little non-consensual kisses.
No, my point is it's a holo game. I'll just say it again. What I just said.
All right.
As a player in the game.
One more time.
As a player in the game.
You're playing the chefs.
Okay, stop. Please.
Counseling.
Please.
All right.
As a player in the game, my role is to take control as the chef so I can nurture people through food and nurture people through counseling. And all of Enterprise is actually just a holo program that's based upon the actual events of Enterprise. So everything we've been watching has just been a holo program.
I dig it, man. Yeah.
And so Riker just played the game like other people.
Right.
But then it doesn't make sense because Troy specifically said, like, this happened back then, and so, you know.
Also, that type of thinking is one of the problems with this episode, because it starts opening up avenues to that, where you're like, for example, the death of Trip, where a lot of people were just like, oh, fuck you, I'm not going to believe that happened, because it's such a stupid thing to happen.
Commander Tucker's crazy for catfish.
And
fried catfish with
and it's so dramatically unnecessary
comes back for catfish.
That a lot of people just simply refute, like I think Jen even mentioned it in the voicemail, where it was like, and I do the same thing, when I rewatch Enterprise, I usually just don't watch this episode. I just ended at Terra Prime.
I don't see any reason to ever watch this episode again.
But, Jesse, to get to your question
fried catfish with hush puppies.
About the chef.
Commander Tucker's crazy for catfish.
It is a running gag in Enterprise that they're always mentioning chef. They're always talking about like, oh, chef has steaks tonight, or chef, blah, blah, blah. Right. But you never see
because there's no replica.
And that's why I say that it's actually a holo program and the player plays the role of chef, because we never see him. Because if they had told us earlier on, it would have given away the fact that it was a holo program. It would have destroyed the immersion, because we're not meant to find out it was all a holo program the whole time.
It was
time.
All a hologram.
We were not meant to know that until the season finale. And when the season finale came, that's when we're supposed to be like, it was a holo program all along. All four seasons was a holo program. And the chef counselor was just someone in the future playing the game.
Classic television.
You're describing an even more fucked up. Like, that would make it so much worse than it already is.
I think that's what I said the
like
same.
Like the last episode of
that's
Roseanne.
What I, that's Oh yeah, well, that was she all like.
She was like, just, how was it? Was just a story she was writing or something.
Yeah, I remember that was fucking goofy. And then they revived it as the Connors, and they totally just kind of ignored that part.
Because yeah, it was a lame.
It's TV. You can
how did I make
want.
It more fucked up by saying that we were tricking the audience this whole time?
No, I'm just saying that as it stands, people can easily remove it from their headcanon by just not watching it and saying that because this is a simulation. Because think about it, the way this episode is structured, none of our heroes are involved. Only holographic recreations of those heroes.
Oh yeah.
So
right.
It's built into the story that you know we're meant to believe that this is exactly how it happened.
Right.
But you could easily say, oh, they got it wrong, or the history's exactly. weird, or yeah, this is like a training program or whatever. I was suggesting, Dan, that the scenario you describe, which is that they actually concretely declare that none of Enterprise ever happened. It was just it was just like a holographic training game program or something.
That's taking
that would be early. Even worse.
That would be worse.
It would be harder to eliminate this episode from the lore, right?
Oh,
and that would suck.
That would suck.
That would be the ultimate in horrific reset buttons.
That'd be like Zefram Cochran not taking credit for warp drive.
It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult to get the reset button correct. In fact, this was a complaint a lot of people had about.
It sounds like I'm trying to take credit for this.
About Voyager had a lot of reset buttons. I mean, TNG too. Doing it right, you can do it like the Year of Hell. I think that's a good way to do it. I think the Visitor on Deep Space Nine, you can do these reset buttons that have meaning. You tell a meaningful story. But thankfully, they didn't do that in this episode. But I think a lot of it goes to the execution, right? Again, okay, as a sci-fi story, it's not that there's not a clever story. I can see this idea of...
Awkward execution.
Yeah, and awkward execution and awkward placement as the last.
And they, like I said before, they didn't play up the fact that there was any real danger when Trip got killed. Archer said he had it under control. Trip jumped in. Trip immediately jumped to
it was like all of a sudden I have to do everything I have in my power to keep Archer from getting killed.
I think, and to add to that point, Dan, is you were saying before how this episode was sort of written by rote. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you because they did the literally by the textbook dramatic steps, which was they had Deanna Troi say, oh, it's so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Trip doesn't even know that he doesn't make it back.
Yeah,
that primes the audience to be like, oh, no, what's she talking about?
No,
yeah.
Then they have the required in the writing handbook, the required scene where Trip is in danger. He's about to fall off the gangway, fall off the railing. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Is that when he died?
Right.
No, yeah, Archer saves him, and then by Archer saving him, it calms the audience down. So that when he actually dies later, it's meant to be it's more of a surprise. The problem is when you follow the rule book so closely, it loses that impact.
I mean, I think, and I kind of know they were going for something cute with the whole Troi and Riker talking about the plot before it happened, but I wasn't into it. I wasn't really into that. What I was into though is, in speaking of that firefight, when we got to see Riker shooting in a shaky hand cam, he was all in the middle of the firefight. He looked so intense. It was awesome. That was cool watching Riker be like, bah. It was awkward though. There were some cool moments in the episode, but it was it was a couple cool moments.
They could have done some avant-garde shit with this kind of concept, but they didn't really handle it the right way.
Yeah. When Trip tried to bring the aliens to Shran, I was wondering if he was planning to sabotage the whole situation all along, or was he actually going to take them to Shran?
No, he knew it. He knew from the start. He's like, I can fuck,
so, yeah,
I can
he
fuck
knew,
some shit up
he knew,
if I get into this.
He knew right from the start that he was going to do some fucked up shit.
Rifle butt.
He's saying rifle butt.
I know. Why is he saying rifle butt? Is that when he's in sick bay?
Rifle butt.
Is that when he's dying in sick bay?
Yeah.
There's some odd editing choices in this episode. Like, for example, when they're like, he's got to get into the hyperbaric chamber, and then they put him in there, and then it just cuts to a scene of they're just putting his shit away. It was weird, right?
Yeah, I thought that was weird, yes.
So there's two Trip...
Concurrence.
There's two Trip last moments.
Two
there's,
trips.
There's
trip
the
trip last moments, doobity-doop.
Is it a biphasic trip?
This is the Trip's this is T3's last moment in terms of the Trek timeline, okay?
We're gonna be late.
No, we'll be right on schedule. I'll even have time to write my speech.
Great news. Wait till they...
That's the end of Trip as the Trip is the Trek timeline.
Cha, 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 cha.
Here is the last we hear of Trip from the viewer timeline.
Yeah.
but I'm sure you'll make the right choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing special. I just wanted to accent those moments because that's the last we hear of our wonderful.
He comes back for
wonderful
catfish.
I do like catfish
with hush puppy.
I do hush like puppies. That they ended it.
Hush puppies are healthy in the future.
I like that they ended it on that more positive note from Trip. Although, from a story perspective, it was structurally confusing and
it
weird.
It was, yeah. I thought it was a nice conversation between Riker and Trip. Yeah. And I thought that the Riker as a chef was mildly entertaining.
Oh, it was mildly entertaining. One critique I have of the Riker as chef, even though I know it was meant to be cute...
Did you ever find yourself attracted to him?
That one?
No, not that one. Although, yes, that was also a little weird.
When he kisses the topologram?
No, more specifically,
topologram.
He freezes the topologram.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
which creeped me the fuck out.
I was like, whoa.
I know she's just a hologram, but from the visual,
visual,
it's you have paralyzed a woman.
I know.
And then you kiss her, and you don't even know this lady.
Thanks, baby.
It was like simultaneously.
And you had her fucking cutting carrots. Yeah, like some phallic shit.
Thanks for cutting my carrots and help me
out. You spare one of those carrots?
I did.
You spare one of those carrots?
Master Meatloaf.
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 I found it very charming that Trip Tucker was just chowing down on some like unpeeled carrots like Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And it had a loud crunch.
Have you guys ever had unpeeled carrots?
Of course. I used to only have unpeeled carrots growing up.
Next question. Have you ever had an unpeeled cooked shrimp? Because I have.
Yeah, I've had it.
It's not my preference.
It's not my preference, but it's sometimes it's easier. Sometimes those shells stick on there too.
I'm not all about that chitin.
Okay.
I'm not against people who are into the chitin.
Soup and stuff.
But, you know.
Totally respect that. What about, have you ever had a peanut with the shell? You can eat those shells. And it's in a way, it's better because you get all that salt.
I think you suggested that to me once, and I tried
like a boiled peanut.
I wasn't
just a normal peanut. I can understand because it's fibrous and like eating a fingernail, sliced fingernail.
Squirrels
or something.
Do that shit.
I'm not super into husks.
Yeah. What about
nothing against husks?
When I first started eating sunflower seeds, I thought you were supposed to chew up and swallow the shells. When I first saw someone do it, it was blew my mind.
Did the same thing happen when you first had a pineapple?
No.
Dan thought that was
silly.
Funny. Like, Dan was like, oh, you.
Oh, you,
that's funny.
But yeah, you know, and then I tried to eat sunflower seeds like a normal person and I didn't like it. So anyway.
Yeah, they suck.
What, did you just give it up? Then you just don't eat sunflower seeds?
Fuck those things.
Yeah, they taste bad.
They put holes in your stomach. Probably.
Yeah, they do. Another thing to mention, although, you know, not make a big deal about this, but I do think it is worth mentioning it, is that Riker and Deanna, mainly Riker, they look a little different because they are they're filming this episode like 12 years later, 11 years later than the Pegasus. And it's just kind of funny that Riker's got he's a little puffy, mm-hmm. got a little belly.
A little bit puff.
And he's wearing that old uniform of his, but he doesn't quite pull off the Riker swagger. Mm-hmm. He actually pulls it off much better later in Picard and
yeah, he does.
And in Lower Decks. So I don't know. I thought that was it wasn't pulling me out of the story. This is Star Trek. It is sci-fi. They have styrofoam rocks and all that other sort of stuff. It was just kind of funny to see that version of Riker in the old TNG era uniforms and set recreations, which, by the way, they did a great job. I thought it was really fascinating to see the set recreations. The digital Enterprise was interesting. It wasn't super great. But at the time, I do remember that being pretty awesome because we hadn't seen the Enterprise D since Generations in 1994. Enterprise so D it's was. Like 11 years. it was like 11 years later that you get to see the Enterprise D and in high definition and widescreen. So that was kind of neat, even though the stars were all weird. The stars were all goofy and weird.
Speaking of ships, so there was Commander Ronald Moore of the Pegasus. There was Lieutenant, I don't know, is Don Velasquez another name we're supposed to know? How about Eric Motz or Andy Simonson?
Yeah, I think those are all producers and writers and stuff.
What about Phil Wallace? Yeah, is that someone we're supposed to know?
I mean, could be. Why not?
Well, I mean, you know something?
Hell of a handball player.
That Phil Wallace. When he said to, when Riker said to Troy, he's like,
You're the empath. Why don't you tell me?
He's all getting frustrated. He's like, get the fuck out of my head, you know? Because imagine that, being around a beta Zed and they start questioning you about like your feelings, which is great when you're in counseling. But in day-to-day scenarios, it's got to be like a little bit like, okay, man, you're I kind of want to keep my thoughts private right now. And you're making that hard.
Todd Gonzalez.
Gonzalez?
Slave McDick.
What are you talking about? Oh, is that the names from that Japanese baseball game?
Okay, some made up American names. Todd Gonzalez.
What Japanese baseball game?
I forget which game it is.
Mike Hernandez.
There was a baseball game. I was on NES, I believe, Nintendo.
Baseball Stars?
On Famicom.
Was it Baseball Stars?
It might have been Baseball Mike Stars. Truck.
Baseball stars.
But yeah, they
Sean Furcoat.
There's a list of all the names that are intended to be American names.
Willie Dustus.
But invented through a Japanese linguistic lens.
Glenn Allen Mix.
You were talking about how he froze to Paul and then kissed her. So
unconsensually.
Yeah, so when you watch this first happened when Riker goes
computer freeze program
when Archer was walking and it froze Archer, you could tell it seemed like he was actually physically slowing down, but you could tell the moment where it actually froze, like where the video froze. But it almost looked like, have you ever pretended to hit someone, but it's your friend, so you don't want to hit them?
All the time.
you know what I think people do where they swing and then they slow down so they don't actually hit them, so it looks really fake. Seemed like that's what he was doing when he was walking. When T'Pol froze, you could tell the video froze, but then when Riker went to kiss her, you could tell she was all moving around. And you know what was also kind of weird is that after they hugged and Archer was walking towards the thing, like she's like swaying in this way, almost looks like they've been drinking or something. Like,
was she swooning?
Dude, Dan, you watched the hell out of this episode.
I did.
He always does, man.
No, and I'm sorry. I feel really ashamed if there's actually Jolene Blaylock was
Delon Rampu.
I apologize if Jolene Blaylock was going through something then, but it just looked like she was all swaying after that, so I'm just not quite sure what was going on there. You should rewatch it, and then after the hug, she looks like she's all swaying.
All right, how about this? Let's take a break. We'll watch it,
break.
And then when we come back, we'll come back from the break and conclude our discussion of Star Trek Enterprise Season 4, Episode 22. These are the Voyagers.
Voyagers. These are the Voyagers.
These are the Voyages.
We say that all the time in Star Trek. We are the Voyagers.
Enterprise.
We say that. We are the Voyagers. Patrick, that's not what they say. It's we are the Voyages. Get it right.
Thank you for speaking truth to power, Dan.
Trip Tucker the Third.
We will be right back. All right, we have returned.
Where would I stay?
There we go. I don't know why I'm so charmed by that clip. Trip Tucker.
Because he's very charming.
For context, that's from the episode Home, which I believe is the second or third episode.
T'Pol's mom died.
In season 4.
T'Pol's mom died.
Right, and,
T'Pol invites Trip Tucker back to
another, party. Like, just, you know, like, okay.
How about T'Pol? Taking folks down to Mobile.
We're going to give short shrift to grief. In this episode, that's what we're going to do, short shrift to grief.
This sounds like when people, like, do an impression of W. Bush.
Taking my folks down to Mobile.
That sounds like...
I'm taking my...
Park in Botswana.
Taking my folks down to Mobile.
We all thought he was dead and gone.
I got some packing to do before I go back on duty. Back on duty.
So earlier I mentioned about how one structural thing about this episode is that because it's on the holodeck, all of the characters except for Riker and Troy are holographic recreations, right? So it's not even the real characters. But the other thing that framing it as a holodeck episode does is it means we don't really see the Enterprise, the NX-01 Enterprise, until the very last shot, right? There's not much NX-01 Enterprise because it's a holodeck. On a holodeck program, you don't see the outside of the ship.
Right.
You're just walking around the ship like playing Dan's crazy game.
You have to program that outside in.
Where you have to feed people's body and soul.
Yeah. But the point is that you're not seeing external orthographic top-down views of the show. So in the series finale to Enterprise, we are robbed primarily of not only a number of characters having any screen time.
Establishing ship shots?
Yeah, but not even the beautiful ship.
Yeah.
And the beautiful ship shots that they were really good at, especially in the fourth season. They did a really good job with limited technology of the time. It was really the Dark Ages. the first half.
It was
the
first decade. It was a long road
of the 2000s. I think we missed out on that. I think that's a shame.
Yeah. Troy asked Riker if he wants supper. When was the last time you asked for supper?
Yeah.
Where do they say that?
Why would they say supper in the future? They don't. We don't say supper now.
I think some places. I think some parts. Some places. Some places.
Well, yeah, like in
I
the
think
South
if you say pop,
something.
You probably say supper.
Pop. So?
But is there a difference? Yeah. Isn't supper supposed to be earlier than
maybe in the Midwest?
Isn't supper supposed to be earlier than dinner?
No, dinner's earlier.
Dinner's earlier than supper.
Dinner's like a late lunch.
Okay, shows what I know. Supper.
Well, supper's like a lighter evening meal.
It's got regional differences.
Did you know? Dominic Keating is 5'8".
Reed's shorter than I thought he'd be.
Do you think he was offended by that line?
I don't know.
Did you know he did some voices in Diablo 4?
I did not, but that's cool.
Yeah.
It's
good. Dominic Keating.
Another thing that Jen mentioned in her voicemail, and it came up in a lot of the background research, was that a lot of the members of the cast were frustrated with this episode, but not all of them. Dominic Keating has, in interviews, has said that it's not like his favorite episode, but he thought it actually was pretty fun and pretty interesting. John Billingsley, you know, he was like, look, it's not a great episode, but it's, you know, people maybe overreacted.
They couldn't resist giving him a Phlox smile at the end. Like, they had to do that.
They paid the money for the Phlox smile in the pilot, in Broken Bow, and they paid for it in the series finale. Nothing in between. You never get to see the Phlox smile in between.
No, it was kind of pandering a little bit, but it was entertaining, but I mean,
by all accounts, a lot of the other actors were not excited about this. I think a lot of the writers too, who felt kind of like Berman and Braga were coming in and were like, okay, here's the deal, this is going to be the next story.
And to put it in terms of which is the A plot, which is the B plot, the TNG was the A plot.
Yeah, that's the A plot.
And that's bullshit. The series finales, the A plot of the series finales should traditionally, one would think, I try to keep an open mind, but
it's
you would think that the A plot of the series finale would involve that show itself, not some other show.
It was a FU Enterprise.
Yeah, I think it's a good point earlier about how this would have made a reasonable like mid series episode, not like great, not terrible, but like
you know
it would have been the plot still needed some work, but like that idea was like kind of interesting. It's just having it the series finale and the plot they chose to go with, it was just like.
I think
there's nothing felt like it was at stake.
Yeah. I think what you do to
except Trip Tucker the Third, and that just kind of happened, and you're like, now I'm just bummed out, and I didn't even get anything out of it.
You revise this idea by A, not having it be a season finale or a series finale, and instead maybe go and have it be a story that we've already watched, right? Take a previous episode story.
Oh, that's like the DS9 Tribbles.
Yeah, thing. but instead of being time travel, like I like the holographic recreation, but make it purposefully different. Do one of those things like they've done it in Star Trek, X-Files, etc., where you see things from different perspectives, right? Yeah. And do that old, you know, the Kurosawa type thing where you have unreliable narrators. Mm-hmm. And I think you could do a fun story where the
story is maybe even slightly different based on a different perspective.
Yeah,
you know,
I think,
or even like way different.
or provides a different perspective of a story that we saw before, and in doing so informs that story or makes us reevaluate that story. That would have been interesting. Certainly more interesting, I think, than the story they came up with here. And part of that frustration is, yes, season finale, series finale, all that stuff, but it's also like, you got Jeffrey Combs as Shran. We love Shran. We love Jeffrey Combs. And then it's like, it's a nothing story.
He's just great.
I know, yeah.
He's fantastic. But like, and then you're right. And then like partway through the story, he's just gone.
We don't get the beginning or the end of his story. He just shows up, says, all this shit went down. Yeah. And he's like, now go get him. And then T'Pol
says, gotta use the old flashing ruby ruse.
Then T'Pol says, I don't trust him. And then he like keeps his word.
Empathist.
But I guess we weren't supposed to trust him because he got like their engines wrong. Like for a second, it's almost as if for a second, you could say, oh, Shran lied and said they only had warp 2. Maybe Shran actually knew they would be able to catch up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like the fact that they caught up, you could for a minute in there argue, uh-oh, Shran double-crossed them. But that's not what happened. Like, that's not even what they went with. Yeah. So there's no reason to distrust them. And he just fucking disappeared. Do you think the Andorians, they were first introduced in TOS. Did they have this thing about cold in TOS? Because in Enterprise, they like the cold, right?
I think I can't, you know, I can't remember if it was overt, but
I don't know if it was a retcon where they not even retcon, well, just a new lore they introduced.
Okay. Yeah. I honestly, I cannot quite remember. We'd have to go look at maybe the journey to Babel or you know, one of these episodes that has some Andorian action in it. I think based off of 1960s TV logic, if you're blue, that means you like the cold.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're red, it means you're evil. Yeah. And you like, you live in hell.
Yeah.
What about Smurfs?
They still do that red thing. Whenever someone's wearing a red tie in some kind of scary demon movie, it's always like, oh, that's the devil.
Oh, that's the devil right there. He's got a red tie on.
I'm the devil.
You are the devil.
You are the living God end, angel. Jesse. You are the living end. Did we know that Shran's wife was named Jamel? Did we know that before?
Yeah, I believe so.
How do they move their antenna? Is that computer graphics, or do they have like wires on those things, or animatronics?
That was a new addition.
That shit was badass. Like I'm not talking about for the season finale.
He said it all funny. You're like, that was badass.
That was badass.
That shit was badass.
That shit was badass, man.
But that Andorian shit, I've got to tell you, the Andorian antennas. They just wiggling back and forth. It's great.
I love the Enterprise. Like, all throughout Enterprise, it's like they either like kind of wander around listlessly, or sometimes they like frowny, and sometimes they, you know, it was really cool.
They should have had a sitcom.
Are you a moose?
An Andorian sitcom. Yeah. Well, you were waving. Doing
a, moose doing antlers.
You were putting your hands on your head like a moose antlers. But they could have done like an Andorian sitcom where all sorts of hilarious things happen because the antenna giveaway.
Right, yeah.
Like Andorians, they could have Shran playing poker, some Texas Hold'em, and like when he gets a good hand, his antenna are all like, nang, 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 you know, something along those lines. Do you agree, Dan? Totally. Do you agree with me?
I kind of lost track of what you were saying.
I got that impression.
Oh, damn.
Don't worry about it. You can listen back to it on the podcast when it goes on the air.
Don't worry.
On the internet.
Don't worry.
I think another thing is that we've talked a little bit about this, the structural problems with this episode. There's just some stuff also that's sort of aggravating where, like, Troy is giving Riker all this advice about, like, oh, you should fast forward to this part of the program. Right. But then later she's like, oh, but I never ran the program. It's like, so you never ran the program. So are you just remembering the historical, like, you know, this particular historical story?
That's interesting.
And I think part of the, if you work backwards from it, you're like, okay, why do they have a pre-programmed holographic simulation of this event? Why is this event that happens before the signing of the Federation Charter? Why is this event important? And I think they didn't live up to it with the plot, right? This plot is a banal
so
plot.
So wait, I may be like totally dumb and missed out, but what this episode, they're signing the charter. Is that a peace brokering peace it's between Andorians and Tellarites?
It's the Federation.
Yeah, it's basically the founding. My understanding is that basically you're at the founding of the Federation with the Vulcans, Tellarites, and Andorians and humans all agreeing to this alliance.
Right.
And then Phlox, of course, mentions, hey, there's these other people watching. They're in attendance, these other planet species. The implication is it's going to get the ball rolling. Other people want to join.
That's that place they sat in for the speech. I think, is that the same place that has, remember there's another episode where they were in some stadium looking thing and it had outside seating and it was off in the water. It's like, is that supposed to be Alcatraz or something?
I don't know. And I was reminded, you know, since I do have Paramount Plus, I've been mainlining episodes of Frasier. And there was an episode,
mainlining them.
I think in the third or fourth season, there's an episode where they go to a basketball game and it looks just as hilarious as this episode where Reed and everybody are sitting there. They're meant to be sitting in this massive arena and it just looks like there's like 10 people there and a bunch of walls behind them.
It looks
so stupid. It was the same on that episode of Frasier in the basketball arena.
So speaking of treaties, there was this was all about the Treaty of Algeron, which happened in 2311, which redefined the Romulan neutral zone. That happened somewhere between TOS and TNG is the Treaty of Algeron, when they decided not that they weren't going to use cloaking devices.
Yeah.
And can we assume
that's been referenced before.
And can we assume Section 31 has some involvement in this hidden cloaking situation with the Pegasus?
Maybe. Like,
who else would it be?
Maybe. I don't know.
Did they have
maybe.
Section 31 back then?
No.
No, they didn't.
No, that came on Deep Space Nine a little later. Mm. But they retroactively.
They would have had something else in place, I imagine.
Maybe a little.
Maybe just a little bit. Just a little
I
bit
guess
of
it's
section,
a little tricky.
Little Section 31.
Well, because they had something back in the Discovery times.
Well, yes, they did. I did like that little cameo from Data. From Brett Spiner. That was charming.
That was great because, like, I'm not the only one, but I can think of in my head of specific people that I've worked with that were like that, where they would just call you up out of nowhere. You're focused on some shit, and they're just like insistent on like an info dump on you about some project they're involved in that like you don't give a shit about. And it's like, okay, I would care if I had time, but I'm fucking doing shit right now. Like, I don't need your info dump. And they like keep pressing you. And it's just like, there's nothing I can do with this. I want to be supportive, but I can't right now. And so, but yeah, that was cute. That Data's forgivable because it's part of his charm. Yeah.
The only issue again is we're being charmed by Data in an episode where Data shouldn't be in it, right? Because it's
it's another character upstaging Data's voice. Oh no, it's Data's voice.
Exactly.
Oh, are we gonna hear from Worf?
No, and for me, it really is. I don't know. I guess they were going for something stylistically, but I think they copped out. Not having any of Archer's speech, playing up the speech is like, I had to memorize his speech in third grade and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Chekhov's speech. It's like Chekhov's gun. You expect to hear something of the speech, even if it's just like the first three lines are like to boldly go or whatever, you know. Yeah, you're not going to have the whole fucking speech. I understand that.
I had to memorize this speech in grammar school.
Grammar. Who talks like that?
But I felt a little ripped off. That it was almost like at the end of the episode, it's like, you know what? Fuck you. You're not even getting this.
Yeah.
Whole series has been leading up to this and you don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get that. And but I mean, it goes part of the theme with the episode of not getting to know why the aliens caught up with them, even though they just had slower warp, not like knowing much about what happened with Shran, except he just appeared and sort of vanished. Like, they're just like dropping out bits of info. And maybe that stuff could have been filled out if they dropped the TNG stuff. But would that have made it a better episode? It's hard to say. You know, unfortunately, the TNG part might have been like the saving grace of this episode, only because it wasn't a good episode to begin with. Like, but I don't know. I don't want to say that because that's kind of a bold statement, because as we've established, the TNG being involved, that is the problem with this episode. But I think they probably made the episode different. I don't know what they fucking did, man. But like, there's,
I know, right?
There's like, you're like trying.
I'm trying to help you guys. No, I'm just trying to think. Like,
no, it's a maddening episode. No, I mean,
I'm thinking that maybe the plot, part of the reason the plot was so weak is because they had to try to compromise around this TNG plot. If they had added extra stuff without the TNG plot, like I said, I don't know that it necessarily would have made any better.
I think the other problem, and this is where I disagree with John Billingsley, who I think argued, he was like,
very illogical approach.
John Billingsley, at least in one interview, he was like, okay, look, it's not that great an episode, but I think a lot of people, they went a little overboard in their negative critique. Sometimes I'm watching this episode, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. It's not like a terrible episode, but I think it is, all those contextual factors are what make any little piece of it extra bad, is because it's taking away time, because it's focusing on the other characters. But I think also the conceit of Riker being like, I have a moral quandary, I know I'll go on the holodeck to work it out. Okay. Let's say that. Okay. Now, what holodeck program am I going to use? I'm going to like wander around the Enterprise when Archer is facing a moral issue. No, Archer's just helping out an old friend. Right. So like what exactly is he learning here? Like, when you actually watch the scenes where Riker is supposedly learning, like when T'Pol says something about like, I learned that humans trust your instinct. Riker's all like,
he's just cutting up vegetables.
So yeah, T'Pol's talking about like following your instincts, right? He likes that one, but then Phlox makes an assertion that like when he told Trip Tucker III to take a nap, and Riker was like, did he do it? And Phlox was like, he didn't have a choice because he gave an order.
Yeah.
And then Riker's like, I don't like that. So it's obvious where Riker's leaning from the start, because he'll take the instinct comment like as a good one, but then when he introduces the idea of like, well, you have to follow order, Phlox, he's like, no, you don't have to do that. And even Troy was like, you're gonna pick the right decision. And Troy, by saying that, was basically saying, you're gonna fucking
Troy said that, Trip said that. But you know what, let me reframe what my critique is, because really what my critique that, like, when we watch this episode, yeah, he's interacting with Phlox and with Archer and with T'Pol, and he's having these conversations that help inform his decision making. That's not the issue. My issue is, why the fuck would he think that would happen in the first place?
What, that, like, he would
why would he think that this program would result in him having a conversation with a Denobian doctor who triggers something by an accidental offhanded comment?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. And that's, I think, the
thing. He was looking for inspiration.
I think part of what makes people angry when you're watching this is because even though it has the sheen of being well put together, it really kind of isn't.
And
there's so many little things that fall apart if you look at them too closely.
And I know that this doesn't matter because we know Riker's going to be okay, but I still kind of want to know what the results are of him, like.
Well, you can watch the Pegasus.
Oh,
you can watch that episode because that's right. Yeah, this is all.
This is all the background
of this episode. Now it stretches it out.
I totally forgot.
In that episode, it's you see Riker being like, I don't know what to do. I have this order, but the captain Picard is a nicer guy than this piece of shit. That's again a part of the frustration, right? Is that it's you look closely at it and it kind of doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And so you're like, why are we watching all of this?
When we were talking about Picard, season 3, one of the problems, spoiler alert, I have to make a funny voice before I say spoiler alert. That's the way you know it's humorous.
Spoiler. Well, it's a humorous spoiler
alert. One of the problems that people had, and rightfully so, was the fact that so many people got killed in the season finale of Picard.
A number of characters got seemingly unnecessarily killed.
Right, and my argument was, at least if they're... Because it's annoying when they introduce high stakes, but they don't follow through with them, and there's no suffering as a result. So on the one hand, like, I still kind of think that to a certain degree, but on the other hand, it is true. Like, they did just try to kill people off for dramatic effect. And actually watching this episode made me think about that, because I was like, why do I have such a problem with it in this episode, but I didn't have a problem with it in Picard season 3? And so I'm still kind of on the fence about, I think just... It's just sort of that I have two things at odds. One thing is, don't just kill off beloved characters just for dramatic effect. But on the other hand, if you're going to introduce high stakes, you got to follow through with them somehow. Part of the problem is there was the high stakes. We know there are high stakes in this show, in Enterprise, because they told us there were high stakes.
Exactly.
But we didn't feel like there was high stakes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then it's like, okay, you just told us this happened.
And my critique, and I think a lot of people's critique of Picard season 3 was not so much that, a character died. It was that a number of characters. It's like,
They kind of held it back a little bit.
There's a balance.
Yeah.
And it can start to feel cruel after a certain point when you're like, well.
Especially in Star Trek, when you're not sort of like used to that kind of thing. It just doesn't fit with the theme of it.
There is a huge difference between Spock's death in Star Trek 2 and Tripp's death here.
Yeah.
Tripp is an awesome person. Tripp did this excellent last minute trying to solve the problem. Sacrificed himself without hesitation because he knew what we're meant to take away from this is that Tripp knew how important it was that Archer got safely to the signing ceremony, that this could, the entire fate of the Alpha Quadrant and the Beta Quadrant, this could all hinge on Archer getting there safely. They'd like us to think that anyway. Mm. They spend a lot of time having Archer tell us that's not true.
Yeah.
So that undercuts that a little bit. But everyone else is like, no, it's true. It's really important for him to be there. So yes, Tripp valiantly sacrifices himself, but it doesn't have the same weight as the Spock thing because of just how the story is set up, the structure of it. You don't feel even, like it's earned.
And after it happens with Spock's death, you really feel that emotion because they have that moment. There is no emotional moment after Tripp dies.
No, they're just packing up his stuff
and
complaining about his advice.
Yeah,
right. T'Pol is like, what the fuck was he telling me this bullshit advice?
Why would he tell me that?
I mean, I like that scene. It's an example of, there are these scenes in there where they do provide a little bit of character development, a little bit of emotion. And
the Dojin suckerfish.
Yep, that's another good example.
I was talking about this line before.
Did you ever find yourself attracted to him?
They pulled the old switcheroo. We were supposed to be like, what did he ask that of Mayweather?
Yeah.
What did he ask? Did he ask him if he found him attractive? It's like, no, he was talking to Hoshi.
That was a cutely edited scene.
Yeah, it was
nothing super special. But
it was
kind of
it was cutely edited. But it was very much like supposed to be like, what?
And you know, the action in the episode, even though the actual plot was not particularly interesting, I thought the action was good. The aliens were sufficiently scary looking.
Oh yeah, I like those alien guys.
It was
now open the case.
The guy
there was a lot of voiceover, a lot of ADR in this episode, which made me wonder, like, did they have a problem with their microphones or something? Because there was so many parts of this episode where it was clear that they had recorded the audio later.
The alien dude, he kind of had made these weird, awesome facial expressions when Trip Tucker III was reaching up to grab his Zappo device. Like, the alien, he kind of sneered while he looked up at it, but then when he looked over at his partner, he gave the sort of upside down smirk. Like, I don't know what you call an upside down smirk. Just, he gave this weird
a frown.
But it was like a like kind of frown,
grimace.
And like, he was, if you watch the scene where he's like going back and forth with Trip, he's like looking around, alternating between these weird smiles and these weird like frowny smirks.
You know, he gave off a bit of a vibe of the antagonist in the Gambit two-parter, TNG's The Gambit, the whole with Picard as the pirate guy, or maybe like Immortan Joe from Mad Max Fury Road, that kind of vibe. Of course, you know, we only see a little bit of this alien and the actual plot itself. Like, I think you put it very well, Dan, by saying we don't know the beginning of the plot, we don't know the end. Yeah. We just get inserted in the middle, and it's already aggravating because we're already in a holographic simulation, so it's even more meaningless.
And like you pointed out, also that the flashing amethyst, like that saved the day.
Yeah,
Troy, at the end when Archer's gonna give his speech, she goes, "Oh, he'll be fine. I had to memorize this speech in grammar school. You wish you could tell them all that this alliance will give birth to the Federation." I wasn't quite clear what she meant, because she says, "You wish you could tell." Oh, I see. She meant wishes she could tell.
But she can't, because they're in objective mode.
Yeah, they're in objective.
They're not in interactive mode.
Objective mode.
Plus, it's a hologram. Like, I don't
hologram?
Know. It's a hologram.
It's a hologram.
Is that? I guess that's what she was saying. She was just trying to say, "I wish I could tell these holograms like that what they're doing." I guess she was just being like, "Oh, if they only knew," or something.
I guess hologram. I didn't know. This is the first mention of the
I don't get it. The
NX-01 is a museum ship, which we again, spoiler alert, we do get to see that later manifest. So that's kind of cool.
Here's to the next generation.
I did like that. I'm torn on this actual ending shot where they went from the Enterprise with Picard's voiceover blending into Kirk's voiceover, blending into Archer and NX-01.
I have that ending part. Is about 15 seconds if you want to play it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get a little crazy, Dan.
Let's do nuts.
Space. The final frontier. The
last one.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life.
I
want to
know what episodes they grab these from.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
So,
the Enterprise music.
La, 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 la. La, la. So I'm assuming that they recorded. I'm assuming they recorded Scott Bakula's ADR for this episode. But I want to know what episodes they grabbed the other clips from.
Well, they repeat them over and over again.
I want to know the exact one.
We're assigning it to the audience.
Or do you think it's
audience?
Just,
find out.
Or
for
do you
us.
Think they grabbed it from the opening?
Maybe they definitely grabbed it from the opening. Mm. But I bet you there are multiple recordings of each opening.
I guess it's a little tricky.
See, maybe Patrick Stewart re-recorded it in season.
I've already started to reduce the plumbing. Already started to reduce the plumbing.
Coming to the end, folks. Wrapping things up.
Thanks, pink skin. Thanks, pink skin.
This is late at night.
Pink skin.
We record real late.
Take no credit.
Here on the East Coast of the United States of America.
Someone you know?
Someone I knew.
Thanks, pink skin.
Oh, yeah,
Captain asked for meatloaf, didn't
skin
he?
Business.
You spare one of those carrots?
He negotiated it down before.
You spare one of those carrots?
Take no credit.
Podcast!
Someone you know?
Someone I knew.
Someone you know?
Someone I knew.
Someone you know?
Someone I knew.
Didn't have a choice.
Give me a signal when you've clicked every one of the buttons.
Thanks, pink skanks, 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 pink skanks,
okay.
Thanks, pink skin. 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 Thanks, pink skin.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Here! Oh, it's back! Oh no! Oh no! What's going on?
Fried catfish with hush puppies.
Rifle butt.
All right, that's depressing.
He'll undoubtedly make every effort to take no credit.
That'd be like Zefram Cochran not taking credit for warp drive.
It sounds like I'm trying to take credit for this.
Time heals all wounds.
Essence makes the heart grow fonder.
Time heals all wounds.
Essence makes the heart grow fonder.
Chef's promised at least six kinds of cheese. Chalish.
Shalosh.
Chalish.
Shalosh.
Chalish.
Shalosh.
Chalish.
Shalosh.
Fried catfish with hash browns.
Where would I stay?
Commander Tucker's crazy for catfish.
I've already started her plomeek broth.
All right. Okay. I think we've done our...
Do you think Andorian cabbage soup is some kind of blue borscht?
Okay. Yeah, I understand why you brought that up. I have no meaningful answer for you.
What if it's yellow?
This is sort of... You know how there's rhetorical questions? That was a rhetorical joke.
Wait a second.
You just wanted to be able to say blue borscht.
I did not.
Yes.
I did not.
I know you well enough, Dan.
No, you don't tell me who I am. I tell me who I am. Define me.
I'm defined. No,
I'm not who people say. You don't ever. Don't. You're not who people define you as.
Okay.
To sum it up, I was entertained by the Chef Riker parts. I thought the hug with Archer and T'Pol was nice, sort of like that sort of brought it back to that was like the only thing that really brought it back.
It was nice. It was good. A lot of the T'Pol Archer scenes were solid.
Yeah. I mean,
I like when she was fixing his button and complaining.
Yeah, she's all motherly. Yeah. It was kind of nice. Yeah, you know?
Motherly slash sitcom-y.
Yeah, a little sitcom.
Anything else? Because otherwise, I think we gotta go.
I think that's it, man.
The people listening, they gotta go. They gotta go home.
Oh, when
at the podcast booth. Where you go to the library and they give you the booth where you can sit and listen to podcasts in peace, but then you gotta go home.
When T3 asked Riker if there's anyone
Charles Striptucker III.
When he asked Riker if there's anyone he like truly trusts, and Riker says, yeah, one or two, he was talking about Picard and his M'Zadi.
Probably.
His M'Zadi.
Yeah, okay. See, again, you blue borscht in his M'Zadi. I do like the beta lore for Trip Tucker, that he didn't die, that he faked his death. You don't actually see him die, right? It is kind of interesting. They put him in the hyperbaric chamber and then just, you know, all of a sudden he's dead. And I think there's some novels, comic books, et cetera, headcanon, all that combination where people say he faked his death and then he joined Section 31 and went on some mission or something and eventually ended up with T'Pol.
Apparently Trip Tucker III owned a Frankenstein. Not, I know it's Frankenstein's monster, but just like it's better to say it's a Dracula.
Oh, you know what's so hilarious? I sincerely thought that, because now I remember, yes, he had that little Frankenstein figurine, but when you said he owned a Frankenstein, he owned the kiosk at the mall that sold beer and Polish sausages.
No. I know it's Frankenstein.
I don't think that exists anymore, but it was a staple. It was a mainstay of American malls.
It was all right, man.
For many years. Yeah, you could get a fucking beer.
It's better to say
a sausage.
It's better to say
a Frank and a Stein.
It's better to say a Dracula, and it's better to say a Frankenstein. Even though it's Frankenstein's monster, it's better to say a Frankenstein. It's
who talks
funnier.
Like that, dude?
This guy over here.
I don't know if Trip Tucker III ever owned a Frankenstein as far as we knew.
Are you talking about?
He's talking too long is what he's talking about.
I'm talking too long.
Yeah, wrap it up. Wait, what other stuff we got? It's time to go. It's the end of the podcast.
Oh, man.
I know. Do you have any games to play or whatever?
I don't know. I might have had something else to say.
All right. Well, we can always talk about it next week. How about this? I'm going to start the end bit of the show and give all the info bits and stuff. If you come up with something, you just holler out and let me know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Oh, I remember.
My God.
Did you notice that when Troy sits in the chair?
Oh, comfy. Ooh.
That was totally a reference to Trip Tucker like fixing up Archer's chair.
I think it was.
And she didn't know how to open the door because it didn't have an auto.
Yeah, she had to use the button. Although previously Riker was shown just walking through walls.
Except
he had to duck under a bulkhead. It's because so he wouldn't hit his head.
It's because he had
objective mode,
which is like no clipping in Doom. Did you ever play Doom and put on no clipping
of
mode?
Course. Yeah. Okay. No clipping, no more clips, no more music, no more Star Trek. We're done.
Sound like my ninth grade teacher.
We will soon find out whether this is our most or least listened to episode. I think it's going to be one or the other.
Maybe a little.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If not, hey, give us a chance. Give us a chance next week. You never know. Might get better. We do not know what we're discussing next week yet, but we will feed this episode. We will feed this episode into Dan's bespoke podcast topic selection algorithm, and it will spit out a list of suggestions for us. I think,
and the bugs.
I think probably good bet it's going to be Voyager. Not necessarily, but good bet because we're kind of due for a Voyager. Maybe we'll do some Prodigy sometime soon. We'll get to all of that. But keep an eye on our social media or our website to find out which episode we'll be discussing next week. Our website is www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Fried catfish with hush puppies.
Our social media is at It's Got Star Trek.
There's just one other thing I need to tell you.
At most of the
social... You can all go straight to hell.
At It's Got Star Trek, at most of the social media places you'd expect.
And you believe it?
That's that. If you want to send in a voicemail message like Isaac or Jen did this week, you can go to
spectral micrometer to see it's a fabrication.
itsgotstartrek.com/record. We make it super easy for you. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd prefer to send us an email, you can get us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. So until next week, that's it from us.
Computer freeze program.
We'll talk to you later.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Goodbye.
Can you spare one of those carrots?
They're not peeled yet.
That's okay.